His conversation with Marvin Long took place at his home in Kendrick on February 27, 1976. The interviewer, who has known Mr. Long ever since he was a child, was Lee Magnuson. Okay, it's going.
Maybe you could tell about the hotel business at Leland that your mother ran.
Let's see, let's get this in this freaking store. The reason Long's got into the meat business was that my older brothers, Tom and Joe, worked for a man in the name of Albert Lee, and he owned a butcher shop in Leland. And Mr. Lee told him, our father, he could buy out this meat business because he had the boys to run it. how we got in the meat business. Sold meat in this territory. You see. Sold meat in this territory from then. Is it date on this when we're starting?
No, it doesn't matter that way, but whatever you remember about it.
Well, we took over the meat business from Albert Lee and sold meat in this territory from then until 1968.
The first telephone line at Leland was a private line from Kendrick up to Van Pelt's flour mill. And several years afterwards, they put in a farmers' lines all over the country, which developed down, which is what year that was.
But the first phone served the whole community?
Yeah, it was the only phone up on the ridge. It was Kendrick Southwick. There wasn't any people down here. It was just a small system. Just a few people, I think. The warehouse over here had the first phone, Atchison Warehouse. From Lewiston, there's a private line. Wasn't any long distance in here. It was all a telegram.
Used to deliver the messages.
Yeah, a telegram message. Yeah.
What was it about Van Pelt's phone that you delivered the messages to people?
The only phone from Kendrick to Leland, that strong cut, was a man named Van Pelt that had a flour mill there. And he had the only mill that was the only phone in there. It's a private line. It's only phone on that ridge.
So everybody used it?
Well, did they come up or went to Kendry? Yeah, long distance.
Did you take the messages out to
them? Sure.
Yeah.
The kids did?
I did. I and Ed, or some of us on the horse, we got paid for it.
Would you take the message, or would they'd come back with you and make another call, or?
Well, I don't remember. I guess they'd come back and call. Mm-hmm. I guess that's right. It wasn't many of them, it's just on account of death or something. Yeah. We made all our spending money doing chores and messenger boys.
What were some of the other things you did for chores?
Took care of the doctor's horses, kept them hooked up, harnessed on, harness ready to go. The only way the doctor had it, there's no cars, the only way the doctors got around was horses, and they didn't come after them with a team. They all had a team, the doctors did, owned a team and a buggy or a hat. And my brother Ed and I always had the job of taking care of the horses, the doctor's horses.
At his house or
at at his barn.
At his barn.
But we was he was always, you know, they couldn't work with horses, you know, and be a doctor. So.
What were the things your folks did before you moved to Leland?
Oh, I'd give you, I guess. Have you ever said any, put that in?
No, I don't think the whole story.
Well, let's put the whole story in. I'll give it once. I'll start in my secret. My father, has that ever been to who? In my father, and N.B. Long. Come west in 1989 and homesteaded what is known as Crescent now. And later it was at Crescent, and Dad's sold the homestead to a fellow named Dorndorf for the big sum of $500.
How many acres?
160.
You know whose place it is now?
Sure. It's the Dorndorf. I think they call it the Dorndorf place, huh? Is now, I think it called the old. I sold it to Dorndorf for. So I said $500. $500.
How much of that was farmland, or was much of it?
It was farm and stump land. Mm-hmm. Whatever's cleared up and. He made shakes and cedar posts and peddled them out on Potlatch Ridge to the farmers. He'd take orders for these posts and fence posts and shakes. It was quite a demand, you know, for shakes. All the barns and all the sheds were covered with shakes.
They were those big long ones?
Yeah, big long ones.
Longer than shingles?
Oh, yes, bigger shakes, you know, the regular shake length. We still got the pro, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What year did he sell the homestead, do you know? In the 90s, maybe.
Well, 95. I was born up there in 94, and he come down here, and I was about 2 years old. He come down in 96, I guess, for
came to
the ridge. What?
Where'd he go then?
First place we. He rented the farm, he farmed what is known, I don't know what's known that now, it is the Emmett Blackington place. It joined Daggerford place.
Went from there over to Cameron with the fruit, or was that?
Yeah, went on fruit ranch. 70-acre orchard.
Apples or other things?
Just apples. 70 acres of apples. Went broke on them. Lost everything he'd put into the orchard and four years of hard labor.
What caused it?
What?
To fail.
Everything. Kind of apples and no markets. Everybody went in the apple business and there's no market. Mostly no market, I'd say. Three kind of apples he raised were Jonathan's, Rome Beauties, and Ben Davis. Ben Davis is what broke him. Big, good keeper, see, apple, and it wasn't. It never took on the market.
What was it about having them ready to ship here in town? They were
hauled over here and what do they call this old shed over here? The old
Ben Cook's warehouse.
Well,
now,
no,
what would it have been?
Packing plant or
warehouse?
Fruit warehouse. That's what it was. It was basement energy, you know, and they put the apples in the basement to keep them from freezing. In the winter, what they held over. Yeah, this was at that time quite a fruit country. There's big orchards everywhere. Too much of one. The last one I remember is the Johnson prune orchard up here. There were large prune orchards all over the country, huh?
Where was that one?
Right at the top of the hill up there.
Yeah.
When you go up this grade, right up top of that grade there. Is there anybody? Nobody lives up there now, I don't think.
I know. Up which?
Well, go up this grade right here.
Ours right here.
What?
By Arnett's up in there.
No, you don't go up in the Arnett's. You keep this way, that grade. These are great.
Oh,
you ever
yeah.
been up there?
Yeah,
you?
I know where you mean now.
It goes up to American Ridge. American
yeah.
Ridge.
I think.
Gentry Road.
Yeah.
What?
Gentry Road.
Most of those trees are gone now.
Oh yeah, they're all gone. Yeah.
So what'd your father do when the apples broke him?
A fellow named Albert Lee. After he went broke in the orchards, a fellow named Albert Lee, the boy at Tom and Joe was working for him. And he backed him with, let's see, what was it? Well, he's the one that backed him, financed him to get started.
And then he started freighting the...
He had this shop
at
the same
time,
what?
He had the shop.
Orchard, doesn't know I'm ahead of myself. No, I'm ahead of myself. On the ranch, the orchard, we farmed on the side to make a living, but went broke. But this Albert Lee's the one that backed him on the meat business.
And that was?
Backed him with a shop and two teams of horses and two meat wagons. And what else? You know, it put us in the meat business.
And that was in Leland?
Yeah,
you
Leland.
Moved to Leland.
Yeah.
Did just your mother start the hotel at the same time
yeah,
then?
She was running the hotel.
That was... He freighted, is that when he freighted the meat over to Pierce? And
no, he didn't freight meat.
He freighted
groceries.
Groceries.
Anything. There were no trains over there. Anybody come down there and get a load of freight for that prairie over there. It'd be stacked here in this depots. He just begged to get people that had teams, you know, for us freighting for anything. Some of them had four and some of them had six. Dad had a four. He had a four-horse team.
How'd you happen to come to Kendrick?
You and Ed were graduating
from
the eighth grade,
that's right, weren't you? Yeah. Dad come to Kendrick to get work for four of us boys. He told me the reason. And he come down here. Well, how much money was it? I told you that before, didn't I? Your mother wouldn't come unless he bought this house. And I think he cleaned up $500. $1,500, and he put $500 payment on this house, and he went down town and he bought out a butcher shop for $500, and he bought out a dray team and dray line for $500. Good team, all good dealing with Ford Bull. He come down there and it was four boys, and he had worked for all of them but me, and he farmed me out.
What did you do then?
That's when I went in the store business. Mm. That's when I happened to be in mercantile.
So you started in 1908 when you came to town?
No, I didn't start pretty high. No, I helped him on dray line first come to town. I went to, I think it's about 1910 I went in the store. 1909 or 10, I don't know exactly. It's where the hardware store is now.
Was that where the gas light system was that you worked with?
I never worked for gas.
That acetylene?
Acetylene, well, yeah, I had to look after it. I was there in that store, and I had to go in there and did it, the acetylene outfit, and then you get down, but it wouldn't start up again. You had to go in.
Was that just for their store, or was it
the whole town? No, they had them all. But is it a store? The man had it. No, he had two or three other stores, I think. No, I guess that's mostly for that store. But I was working there, see, and that's how I had to be looking after this plant. It was behind the store, farthest store.
What was his name that had that store?
Damron Florence. First man. See, I think I don't know whether Beckwith had that in there or not. I worked for Beckwith and they sold out to Damron Florence and they took, I went along with the store for some reason or other. Dad didn't have work for me.
Who'd you buy the house from?
This house?
Yeah.
Fellow named Wessels, real estate dealer, wasn't it, Martin?
You know how much it cost altogether then? It was
which?
The house. $500 was the down.
$1,500.
And $1,500 altogether.
You bought a that we if we'd had another $1,500, we went over and bought the other side of the street. We bought a dray line out $500. He bought this payment on this house $500, and the
butcher shop.
Where was the butcher shop?
Up between the this hotel in the corner, in there where the. I guess, isn't that Walter Crook's got his apartment in there?
In a hotel building.
Yeah. That's where our butcher shop was. Mm. Until we see Wild. He died. A fellow named Wild had down there where the firewall is, where We had it where we moved to. You remember when we had it there, don't you?
No, I can't.
Oh, when we had it the fire hall? No, I guess not. Well, we sort of... No, we'd moved it over in the main store there for... Used that for a warehouse. And stock up for the winter for their clothes with their large family. I'd get a big box, you know, and just fill it full.
What sort of things did they buy?
Everything. For clothing, their winter shoes and winter rubbers and underwear and socks and shirts, everything. Everything they needed for winter. You'd have these lists, you know, and these sticks to fit their shoes. Kids never got a chance to come in and pick out anything. We always did, though. We had our own money and we'd done our own buying.
You had connections at the store, too.
Well, we didn't have any dry goods store then.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? See, we never had dry goods until 1920.
Hmm.
No, we had to go and buy our stuff. Like anybody else. Of course, I went to clerking awful young. What was it, 15? I think I was 15. I wasn't any older than that. Beckwith wanted dead, and put a name in Beckwith and run this general store. He said we couldn't have Ed, but they could have me. He wasn't very anxious to hire me. I worked first month. I started work for, what, $30 a month? I think it was. But I got a raise the first month. $5 raise, and I think the end of the year I was getting 45. So I stayed with that for I don't know how long. That is top wages. $45.
So you did all right.
What?
They thought you were doing good work then. Huh?
Well, I'd have been going down the street. You wouldn't have kept me. You bet. They kept sale records and it was posted every morning back in the corner back there. All our records, and boy, you can give up your sales or you're going down the road. I didn't have any trouble with all that. You married guys, old Bob Shoemaker, he used to get some mad. I'd got more money, same money he's getting, same salary, and selling more stuff, and then you sore about it. I should have told him. You shouldn't kick.
What was Kendrick like when you moved to town?
Well, I'll give you an idea of what the streets was like. They'd get bogged down here on Main Street with a load of freight and go down to the hub. Hatches and have to unload the freight and to get the wagon to get it out of them mud holes before there was any gravel or anything, you know. Boy, they'd get into one of them holes.
Hmm.
Seen them. I'd jack them up, you know, and put stuff under them. Oh, that's awful.
And then it turned to dust in the summer, I suppose.
Well, you had a tank on a wagon, sprinkler, and then sprinkled. They kept it down pretty good. You'd be surprised. They had to. Far, they couldn't, Main Street down there, they couldn't have. That one block wasn't so bad. That was in after fire. When the fire down there where the park is, and that end of town was the main business part of town. And there were several. Well, it when the fire after the fire, they went and filled that street in with that brake and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty solid street. That is for it's paved, you know, or anything. Gosh, it used to be a fright. Spring of the year and the summer when you get.
Well, they'll re-record it eventually.
Who will?
The Historical Society. And put it on more of a permanent tape.
Cut out all that.
Yeah, the extra time.
That ain't on now, is it?
Yeah, but it's all right.
Better not tell any dirty stories.
There weren't any trees along the street when you first
not
came.
Not a tree, not a tree.
When did the locust trees get planted, do you know? About soon
I
after.
I wouldn't know that just as what year it was. It was
must have had water.
Probably in the late, early 20s, I imagine. See, we come down here in 1908.
Where'd they get those locust trees?
Didn't you know the history of those locust trees?
Well, I kind of forgot.
What? I told you. Martin Thomas raised them.
He lived next door here.
Well, he did, but he raised them up in France, you know. He owned that Cox place, you know.
Oh.
Owned all that. He had a grove up there. You could raise.
All kinds of trees, or?
Well, not all kinds, but he that's where these locust trees were raised.
Hmm.
If I remember right. Yeah, I think that's right. I think there's kind of a grove up there yet, ain't they?
I'm not real familiar with their place.
You know where it is, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, if you ever, I think there's a grove up there yet. And coming up grade, you know, from Julietta, that old grade there,
mm-hmm.
That road goes across there to the other.
Did they have to water them to get them started?
Sure, they had to water them.
How'd they do that?
They'd done it with the water tank and barrels. That was the days of water tanks for engines. They could get them. That was the summer, you know, and they wasn't even, I guess they got them some of these guys that threshing machines, I imagine. They could have, you know. At least I think that's how they got them. Well, I guess maybe time. I think he had it. Maybe he furnished the water tank. Right? But he's the daddy of the locust trees anyway. That's why they're all locusts. Didn't cost him anything after.
And they grew fast.
Oh yeah, it was all right. It's a good tree. They're a good tree. Good tree, yeah, if they're tremulous in a while. What was it cost us? $100? $3 last year?
Well, these are ash out here.
Yeah.
These are ash trees.
Oh, I know, but.
Yeah, it cost $100.
It cost that much.
And that was cheap.
Yeah.
The bank paid lots more than that.
What?
The bank paid lots more than that for theirs down there. There's some maples in here.
People couldn't water their yards when they first came.
Fine. I forget now how much fine was. $5 or $10. Hitching on a hose.
There was water system, but you couldn't put
sure,
an outside hose.
Sure. Wasn't any reservoirs. Wasn't anything in the whole water.
Was it water from these springs on the hills, or?
It was this burn spring up here. in them springs over there. Mm-hmm. But they play out in the summertime. It, wintertime didn't bother. And it was summertime, they'd get the hose on. They had an old lady lived down there where Frank Abrams lives, Hulls. He run a kind of a Jew store here in town, novelty store. She'd steal water and everything else, and they'd have her on the carpet and fire. That was the biggest distraction here in town. Was Mrs. Hull and the city council on that water deal.
She loved flowers.
Oh, she sure had a beautiful home.
Did your mother have flowers in those early days?
Sure, but she had them. She watered them with, saved her wash water, stuff to water them, just like it was when we was on the ridge. When we didn't have, you couldn't cook on a hose, so you used wash water.
What kind of things did she have? Roses and
what?
What kind of flowers did she have?
Oh, sure, she had roses and had geraniums and seeds you plant.
Could you get a?
She had a green finger, that girl did.
Could you get a good dryland garden, even without water?
No, not much.
Not very good.
Depends on your old snitch a little water to water a sprinkling can, you know. Pour that hose before they put the hose on.
How about?
That's fine to put a hook hose on your water.
Talking about vegetable gardens, what's the story of Gene Chinaman?
He furnished the town, didn't you? Yeah, I've told you that story.
Well, you've told me, but we should put it on the tape.
Well, the town, practically the whole town, looked to him for their fresh vegetables. And he run a cart. You know where his gardens were, didn't you?
Not exactly.
Well, they were there. Lived for Alice Kirkendall lives. Mm-hmm. Well, up this from there up to where that other that house, is that Knickerbocker's house?
Yeah.
This side of Alice. Mm-hmm. Well, Knickerbocker. That wasn't there then. That is where the Chinaman had his little shack and grew the, in that back there. He grew all the vegetables for the town from there. Asparagus, rhubarb, bologna.
Did he take his cart door to door?
Yeah, we left town. I don't think he went, he never came up on the hill or there. They went to him, you know. He couldn't.
People liked him.
Oh, sure. Old Gene Chinaman. You bet.
Wasn't celery a specialty of his?
Yeah. Yeah, celery. Furnished town with celery. Quite a gene.
Celery was a luxury then, wasn't it?
Yeah, oh sure, you had to ship it in you. Did yet.
What happened to Gene?
Well, them Chinamen, you know, have to go back to China and die. And they got a few Chinamen in Lewis, and so they finally, he come out and got him. And it took him, I've heard different stories and truth of them, but he's one gentleman I knew asked about him, and I think he's right about it, but he died going across, so he got to be buried in China.
Was he fairly old?
Oh, yeah.
Before he left?
Yeah, he was old. Gene Chinaman.
Didn't he go blind?
Oh, yeah, practically blind. Was he dead when you come
no,
here?
No, I didn't know him.
I mean, he wasn't here. I mean.
No.
He come up there one day, oh, he was mad. Son of his damn, well, you should run the store there. I was working for him. Damn, well, you wonder the rose buds in spring.
What kind?
Early rose. Potatoes. Just plant. So damn, we'll give him these early potatoes, all right, but they wasn't early rose. He come back up the store with them potatoes he had in his hand. Oh, he was mad. Him no early rose. Him no early rose. God, he was mad.
What kind do you think they were?
Oh, it was an early potato. I don't know what it was, but there wasn't early
they
rose.
They weren't early rose.
No, he didn't. But he wanted early rose. He knew what he wanted. Because you're a Chinaman, you couldn't fool him. Him, him no early rose. Call him a him. Oh, as kids used to go down and visit him. Nobody ever teased him or anything. Just too nice to everybody. Everybody depended on him for vegetables, you know, anything fresh. I guess you don't see them anymore. They don't come. Do they come out to this country anymore?
Not too many, I don't think.
Probably got the quota of them, huh? Maybe.
I don't know.
Produce business has changed for one thing, so they don't come to the little towns like they used to.
No, are they in the bigger places?
Well, in the Chinatowns, you know. Lots of Chinese people, but.
You know, even these little towns, you know, a lot of the time we'd have laundry here too, Chinese laundry. Oh yeah, and they'd come up, you know, and come to Lewis and come up jeans and they'd run a laundry here. But they never seemed to get that started and made that pay like Gene did with his garden. People wouldn't, because there wasn't enough people had laundry work done.
Were there many Indians around Kendrick? Did they just come through, or?
They just come through the shop. They come up here to trade and come through. When we seen the Indians most of the time was when they, in the summertime, when they was going back into the woods for after huckleberry season. And then on we'd have quite a, coming through, going up, had four cars in the horse and buggy days. And after the cars, where we just, that ended the Indian business. Go to Lewiston, I guess. There ain't any Indians anymore, is there? Not very many. They're all Americans, ain't they?
Well, sure.
What? Well, that's what I mean. They're, they live like the Americans know then. This young generation do the things I guess they do.
Yeah.
We don't see them anymore. They used to come through. They'd come up here to trade because it was easier to come up with teams, you know, to Kendrick than it would be to go to Lewiston with their teams.
Mm.
They'd rather, that's I think that is the reason of it. Of course, they got cars. We never seen Indians anymore for this trade territory, only when they'd gone through to Huckleberry. But there used to be quite a few Indian families between Juliet and Arrow.
Mm.
There's a lot of Indians down there. And they'd come up here and trade. That's right, huh?
No.
No, it's old. That's a
string.
Like mine. You like them?
Yeah.
I guess they hold better than rawhide, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. What were prices when you first went into dry goods, what would shoes and clothes cost?
When I first went in?
What would a pair of boots cost?
Well, you'd buy a pretty good pair of shoes when they got up past $5, but it was in too much money to sell them. We used to sell quite a few. Of course, the other stores, the dress shoes are cheaper ones, $3, $3.50. And but good shoes never got much below $5. Floor, like floor shines and things like that, the better make your shoes, that is the lowest price. But gosh, what is it now, $25?
At least. How about shirts and things like that?
Well, I don't think there's too much difference there. Well, I don't know what a good shirt costs now.
Well, they're up $8 and $10 now, or more.
Well, I imagine shirts, and there's a good shirt. We used to put out a pretty good shirt for $1.95. You know, but it wasn't as good as the shirts made nowadays. People didn't have the money, they wasn't after that high price merchandise. Gosh, I don't know. I'd hate to be around the store now. Gosh. I don't see how Braden makes it over there, that stock.
Didn't you sell lots of suits that you took orders for in those days? Men's suits?
Quite a few, yeah. Well, we had clothing when I had Baker's store, when we used to work for them, first Kendrick Store Company. We carried about 300 suits.
Gee.
Yeah.
Well, I remember, I wanted to ask you about, tell about the time President Taft came to town.
Didn't they ever tell you that story?
You told me, but tell it for the
tape. Well, them days the trains always carried the passenger trains. The last car was the, what do you call them?
Observation.
What?
Observation.
Observation cars. And they had a platform in the back, you know, where you could go out and look country coming through, or you could get up, train stopped right there. So when he come out of the car onto this fleetings, where in the train, start giving his speech, and he's about half asleep, he sounded like it. He says, when I come up through this beautiful valley of yours and this country, and all the fruit trees and everything, I don't think he'd ever looked out because there wouldn't be many fruit trees between here and Lewis. And this time there's one big orchard right out of Lewis and north of Lewis. And he says, it just made me feel like a big red apple. Here's a big pot gun belly. You've seen a picture of him, haven't
you?
Yeah. That's right, I just feel like a big red apple. Speaking of presidents, what I remember most about seeing President was Theodore Roosevelt come to Moscow, and of course he let everybody go that could go up to cheer him. And And we heard him speak on top of that. He had a great big, it was a great big stack of wheat in sacks, sacked wheat. And I can remember that in Powell, and that is the platform, the speaking. He spoke from this platform, Roosevelt did. That's what I remember about him.
That was Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, Theodore.
Did you ride the train up? Is that how you got up there?
Yeah, oh sure. Whatever. We went to Moscow more than we did to any. And Lewiston, because we could go up Moscow in the morning on the 9 o'clock and come back at night train. And you could have a whole day up there. Get back down here about 9 o'clock. Train used to come at night, 9, 10 o'clock. But come to Lewiston, up here, they'd come up on 9 o'clock. Well, there'd be quite a few people come, and Indians come trade, but unless they waited for the night train, they'd have to go back over here about 12 o'clock to catch the train going back. They just wanted to come up at 4 o'clock in the evening.
Wouldn't cost very much, would it, to ride to Moscow?
Well, I think it's a little less than a dollar, if I remember right. It's around a dollar, pretty close to a dollar.
So you still didn't do it real often?
Oh, darn right you didn't do it real often. You didn't have the money to do a lot of things real often. But them days, it's different. Now, if you wait till you need a pair of shoes, you go and buy a pair of shoes. And if you wait till you need a shirt, and you go and buy a shirt. But in them days, you went and bought your two seasons. You bought a clothes. You fixed up for the fall, and you fixed up for the summer, spring. And that was the end of our shopping. There wasn't any more shopping, buying. Yeah. We did. Most people, kids I run with and everything, got all their stuff from mail or house, but gosh, we never had any luck buying from mail or house. If we bought anything, we'd have to send it back, it wouldn't fit or something. Gosh. I know one time Mother going to get her all her stuff by us in the fall. She only tried it once. I don't think they do the mail order business used to, do they?
Oh, it's pretty big.
Is it?
Yeah.
You can tell down the post office.
Yeah.
Well, no, but it ain't like it was in those days.
You can't get as many different things.
You can't get.
They sold, they sold up to wagons down, tools and everything. Then.
They don't anymore, huh?
Not as much as that, I don't know.
Well, they ain't sold. Them things ain't sold.
Yeah. What was the story about the blacksmith when you were a little boy?
A fellow named Hodges, he was a widower. And boarded our place. And I used to stick around. We was pretty good pals. I was just a kid. He'd give me a job, I'd make it. Them days, there was a lot of wagon and hack work, of tightening up wheels. And they made wedges. I don't know what they called them. Well, it was wheel wedges for spoke wedges for spokes, after they put spokes in, on the rim or on, and they put them wedges in there to tighten it before they put the, what do you call it?
Rim? Tire?
Tire. Steel tire. And I used to go over there and make these hardwood wedges.
Oh.
By hand, saw them. Saw them blocks. And make good. drawing knife. I'd make these wages. Hard-earned wages. He'd pay me with 100. What?
How many would you make in a day?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember that. I made quite a few. I made them until I got tired. Oh, I made 100 maybe. Maybe 200. I don't remember.
That, you were still in Leland then,
yeah,
right?
We were in Leland. Oh, I was in all kind of business.
What about the toys that man made, that blacksmith?
Oh, yeah. He was always made. He was a clown. And he'd black himself up, you know. And he was really a clown. He was a good one, too. But he made this doll, wooden doll, and jointed the legs and the arms. And he put this thing on a board after he made it. And he had a whole board in the back of it, you know. And then the handle put on him, so he'd hold this. He'd hold it with one hand out on this board, and he'd pound it, make it bad so that we're hitting the board, you know, with a hammer or something, made bad. And he'd make that thing, oh boy, he could really make that thing dance. Oh, it was cute. It was really a show. He was always clowning. He was a character.
He liked the kids.
Oh, he loved them. They all loved him, too. He didn't have any kids of his own.
Was he older then, or was he?
Oh, yeah, he was grown, married, or what. He married one. Finally, I don't know whether he was married before he came to Leland or not. He was a pastor then, but he married one of the Huffman girls.
Oh, yeah.
Up here on the hill. Yeah, she died. She died, and then he never got married again after that. Gee, I think there isn't any names or any people left up there anymore. All them people used to be around Leo.
There's not much there.
One or two farmers owned it all.
What all was in Leland when you lived there? What businesses?
It'd be easier to tell you what business wasn't there.
Just everything.
Well, there was a big general store, and it was biggest anything in Kendrick. They went in Gosford, and there was one time there was two hardwares up there, but there was always a hardware store, and they sold machinery, and then there was a drug store and a butcher shop. We had the butcher shop. And a big general store, and sometimes there was another store, but the only one that you went in Kaiser's one really had the business and made it there. They made a pile of money there. And a flour mill, they made flour there, Van Pelt Mill. You've probably heard of that.
Yeah, he told us about his phone, his telephone.
Yeah, he's one. That's the reason he had this phone, to keep market on the wheat.
Was there a barbershop?
Yeah, one time. What?
Doctors? Dentists?
Two saloons one time.
Churches?
Three churches one time. Never, the other, UB Church never got started hardly. Going, it never got going. There's South Methodist and North Methodist. Democrats on one side of the street and the Republicans on the other. That's a fact.
Which one were you going to?
What do you think? I'll let you set your mind on it. My dad would turn over in his grave if he me. He was going over to North Methodist Church. It's either north and south. One is on the south side of the street, and one is on the north. One catered to the niggers and the other didn't. Didn't have any niggers. That's right, though. There's all Republicans down there at the ME's North Church and South Methodist, all Democrats. Well, I guess it's just the same way it is yet, ain't it? North and South, isn't it?
Well, it's changing.
What? I bet it isn't back.
Not as straight.
Not in the South, I bet it ain't changing. What?
They're still Democrats.
Yeah, so I'll say there's Democrats. They don't get any. Republicans don't see where they're elected, do you?
No.
What do you think of our president? Is he going to make it again?
I don't know. It's kind of shaky.
Who's going to run against him?
I don't know. I'm waiting for Senator Church.
Well, I know, but he won't. Church will be on Democratic ticket.
Yeah.
Well, he won't have no trouble in the primary, this president, will he?
Well, they're not even sure about that.
It was pretty close in New Hampshire.
Yeah. When you were a kid.
When I was first come to Kendrick, there was a post office at Leland, one at Cameron, one at Southwick, one at Cavendish, and one at Teakin. How many is that? See. Huh?
Five,
is it? And Teakin. And then there was Linden and Crescent and Park. That's three more. Is that eight?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Them was all post offices.
Were those little ones like in somebody's house?
Yeah, they were all packing houses. Some places where they had a store and then places.